He can move mountains. Just think of, you ever just like sing songs and not think about what you're singing sometimes? I mean, we need to think about the words we're saying. I mean, He can move mountains. He is mighty to save. That means that no matter what you've done or where you've been, He is able to save. He's able to forgive. He's able to help. He can change your life. He'll take you. Everyone else may reject you, but He will receive you if you trust Him. That's why we're here. That's where we're at, man. That's what Christmas is about. It's about Him coming down and becoming a man and living a perfect life. Dying for our sin so that anyone who trusts Him and believes in Him can be forgiven. Wow. We're going to start a new series we're going to kick it off for the next 3 weeks. Actually, next week we're going to talk more about how we are to shine this light. Today's just kind of introduction, and we're going to talk about the light of Christmas, the real Christmas light, the Christmas light that we have. And so as we talk about Christmas light, we'll be looking at John chapter 1. So you can look there, John 1, 1 through 14. If you get there, that's where we're kind of going to walk through and see it. But we'll dive in there in just a minute. Now, how many people have their Christmas lights up already? Who does? You guys, y'all, can you come over to my house this afternoon and help me do mine then? Because mine are they're in boxes upstairs. I wrap them up, put them in bags, and I like. Okay, wait. Here's the question. How many of you have the different colored lights on your house? You might have different colored lights. How many all white light people we have? Okay, y'all are like classy. I'm the old fashioned big different color light thing. I love all that. And that's how I roll. I met someone at the Crab Shack this morning. Meet him. A couple at the Crab Shack yesterday. They threw away the strand of lights that they've been putting up every year for 35 years. Every year she puts it down and puts it back in the little box and does that. But it's a pain sometimes putting up lights, isn't it? Because you get one that doesn't work. You have strands like that, or you have one that doesn't work, and then the whole thing doesn't work. And so you have one that doesn't work, the whole thing doesn't work, and it's a mess, isn't it? And they get all tangled, you have to make sure which one works, you have to get them hung on the gutter right, and it's very, very, very dangerous. The bravest person on our street is actually a woman, she's a teacher, a gym teacher, lives on the end of our street, and she will hang upside down on her roof on like a two-story house, and she like gets them all down. I keep trying to get her to come put them on mine, but she hasn't done it. I just do the low gutter thing, but man, I load it up. You got, how many Griswolds? You guys like the Griswolds? You want to have more lights than anyone else in your neighborhood? Is it like that for you? Do you ever see that? Is it ever, I know people like that. Let me get this thing closer to my mouth here. And see what I can do here. There we go. So now, wouldn't it be easier, though, if we just have one, instead of having all these different Christmas lights, we just had one light? Just one light. Just stick it out in your front yard. Every year, you're done. You don't have to buy the you don't have to buy the big thing. You don't have to buy the inflatable snow globe, which I kind of want one of those. I don't have one yet, but I want to get a snow globe. You know, all these other things. You just had one light. That would make it a lot simpler, wouldn't it, if we just had one light to go after. That'd be so easy. Plug it in, you're done. We're done with Christmas. That's why those pre-lit Christmas trees are so attractive, because you just plug it in and you're done. You don't have to worry about stringing them up. You know, you don't have to get everything working right. Although what'll happen to me is I'll get one of those and I'll plug it in, and then half the lights will come on. And so then I have to go back through the whole thing again. It's kind of crazy. But it would be good to do that. It would just be easier if we had just one light. You ever just think about light? Light. You ever think about that? Light. I mean, it's kind of a hard thing to grasp, isn't it? I mean, you can kind of see its effects, but do you see the light coming through here? I don't see it. Do you see it? I mean, I see it, but I can't explain it. Scientists tell us, physicists tell us that actually, it's actually not, it's electromagnetic radiation. It's electromagnetic radiation. Y'all hear a rattle? Is it just in my, because it might just be me. It's me. I wonder if it's the monitors. It might be the, make sure I'm not going through a monitor. We'll see, hopefully. It did this last week too, didn't it? A little bit. Hope it's not my wire. That'll cost us money. I might just yell at you if it does that, keeps on. Here's the deal. Electromagnetic radiation is, it's a particular wavelength that's visible. There's actually light that you can't see. Do you know that? There's light that exists. It's this electromagnetic radiation that you can't see, but it's there. They say it travels around in little packets. They call it photons. This is like science class for this morning. We got a physicist here, but you have it's like photons that go through the universe, And so these photons are traveling around. They're traveling around the universe at 186,262 miles per second. Not hour, second. 282 miles per second. Now, just to put that in a little bit of perspective, our planet is 24,901 miles in circumference. So 24,000 miles all the way on our planet. Now, light travels straight, but you can refract it. But if it could go in a circle, that means that in the time we say 1,001, it would go around the Earth 7.5 times. You can't even pick one finger and go around another finger 7.5 times when we say 1,001. Try it. Ready? 1, 2, 3. 1,001. How many did you get? I don't think you got 7.5. I mean, the speed of light is going around the planet. I mean, it would go that far in 1 second. Isn't that crazy? It's amazing. I'm just gonna have to yell at you in a minute. You still hear it crackling? Somebody look at me funny. We just wait. If it gets bad, Justin, just go like that, and I'll pull this thing off and just yell. I can't tell. So we'll see. So it goes that fast. Now, how many of you fully grasp light? You understand light? Anybody really gets it? I don't get it. They even tell me that like light, like what you see up here, like my shirt is gray, I guess. It's a gray color. And so when the light hits my shirt, what my shirt's doing, you see gray, but you're not really seeing gray. What you're seeing is the gray light being reflected back to you. My shirt is absorbing all the other colors because all the colors of the spectrum are in light. And I don't understand this. My kids tried to explain it to me, and I can't grasp it. But all the other colors are being absorbed by my shirt, and the gray is bouncing back. Isn't that amazing? You ever think about that? That'll blow your mind. It's like way over my head. Well, light is always over our head, isn't it? But light is over. It's deep. I can't grasp it. Can you? It's beyond me. But I don't say, well, I don't understand that, so I don't believe it. I've never walked into the room and said, you know what? I just don't understand how light works, so I'm just not going to turn the lights on. I can't understand how when my headlights hit the reflector and they bounce back to me, I see red and not orange or yellow or green. I don't know exactly how that works. So I'm just going to drive without headlights tonight. Nobody does that, do they? Nobody does that. Yet when I was about 18, I said, I don't understand God. I don't understand how he works. I don't understand how it could work for him to create this and why this exists or how he could do some of these things. So I'm just not going to believe in him. Even though there was all this evidence around me that he existed, because I felt like my brain couldn't comprehend him, I said, I am not going to buy it, and I'm going to walk away from that. That's crazy, isn't it? But yet we do it all the time. Maybe you're doing that. That's what I did. That's what a lot of us do. Because we don't understand it doesn't mean we should reject it. But here's the thing. John, 21 times in his book, talks about Jesus, talks about the light, and he refers to really Jesus as being the light of the world, or how Jesus is the light. And so Jesus somehow is connected. God reveals himself to us, and when he does this, he says, okay, Jesus is like the light of the world. He is the light. And light reveals, light shows us where to go, it protects, it guides, it helps. It does a lot. I mean, it's an amazing thing. And so here's what I want us to do this week, just for the next 3 weeks. Here's what I think. I think that, I mean, Christmas time, we have a lot of lights, right? We have tons of lights. And it's easy to get distracted, isn't it? I mean, are you a little bit ADD like me? I mean, you can be like that, and it's easy, totally easy to get distracted. If a microphone crackles, I keep thinking about my microphone crackling, and now you're thinking about it too because I'm ADD, so you had to think about that again. But I see stuff, and I get distracted. And at Christmas time, it's very easy, right? Because what's Christmas supposed to be? It's about who? It's about Jesus, right? Christmas is about Jesus. It's about God became a man and Jesus, and we're celebrating that. And yet, how much of Christmas has become about a Wii or a flat screen TV or a new whatever or a book or Amazon.com or clothes or parties or eggnog or, in our case, we're actually having fireworks for Christmas Eve, which I think is really cool. But, I mean, we have all this extra stuff that goes on with it, and we forget that, hey, this is all about Jesus. And that'll happen not just at Christmas time, it'll happen in your life because you'll have a bill come due. You'll have a hospital visit come. You'll have a relationship go bad. You'll have all this stuff happen, and you'll forget that this is really supposed to be all about Jesus. And I believe that Christmas lights, which are going to be everywhere, some of you are going to take a whole evening and just drive through neighborhoods to look and how much your neighbors are spending on electricity this year, and you're going to and see them, and everywhere you look, you're going to see them. I believe that God can use these Christmas lights that we see everywhere in your life and in my life to remind us of what really matters. And I'll tell you how to do it. We're going to do that at the end. But I think Christmas lights, I think just putting up Christmas lights could actually impact your life, make you a better husband, make you a better wife, make you a better parent, make you a better child. It could affect your relationships if you think the right way about the lights, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But as we are so prone to get easily distracted, I just want us to see from John. We're going to look take the next 3 weeks and look at John 1, 1 through 14, and we're going to see the Christmas story, maybe from a different chapter of the Bible than you've really ever looked at it before. We like the Christmas story from Luke, baby in a manger. We like it from Matthew. You got wise men. You have all this stuff. John, I haven't really heard much of. You know, Charlie Brown's Christmas doesn't quote John 1 through 14. They quote Luke 2. But I think John is one of my favorite Christmas stories, John 1, 1 through 14. See, when Matthew wrote his gospel, he was writing to explain to Jews that Jesus was the king, the Messiah. And he was the rightful king of Israel. So when you read the beginning of Matthew, you'll see a genealogy. In other words, so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so. And Matthew makes sure that you get that David is that Jesus is in the line of David. So he has the right to the throne of Israel. So he's presenting him as king. And then you get to Mark, though. And Mark presents Jesus as a servant. And when you start reading the book of Mark, you see like stories about John the Baptist. It just kind of jumps right into it. It doesn't talk about the genealogy because it doesn't really matter what your bloodline is if you're just a servant, right? So Mark presents him that way. Then you get to Luke, and Luke is talking about the humanity of Jesus. So when you read that genealogy, it's a little bit, it's got some different angles on it than Matthew's, and it really emphasizes the fact that he was human. And you go through, and there's a lot more detail in the book of Luke. It's interesting, written by a doctor, and you go through that. But when you get to John, John is emphasizing that Jesus is actually God, the one, the only God, come in the flesh. God became a man. I can't get my head around that. That's more complex than light to me. But yet that's what happened. And he said Jesus was actually this light. But so God became a man. That's how John presents it, that Jesus is God. And as he does this, he starts this book off as he's writing, probably about 80 or 90 years old, from the town of Ephesus, and he writes, the Holy Spirit brings back to his memory exactly what God wants written down, and here's how he starts his book. In the beginning. In the beginning. That's a great way to start, right? And what he really means, though, is before the beginning. But he starts it off by saying, in the very beginning, right from the get-go. In fact, in the beginning, before anything else existed, because really our brain, kind of like we don't understand light, can you understand something before the beginning? What was before the beginning? I don't know. I can't picture anything before the beginning. But it's interesting. This is kind of cool. And this is just for fun. If you have your Bible, you can flip back to Genesis chapter 1, which is why I encourage you to bring your Bible. Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So there's the time that we can start to understand is in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But before that, God still existed. That's the time that John is talking about, the time before he even created anything, and I'll show you why that is in a moment. But verse 2 of Genesis 1 says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, so God, in the beginning, God creates the heaven and the earth, and sometime before all this, somewhere in this story, there is an angel named Lucifer, who we call the devil or Satan. And he started off okay, but he decided he wanted God's job. And so he rebelled against God, gets cast out of heaven, and ends up on earth. And so he's there, and you know the story of Adam and Eve? So he's there in the garden with them, and so they're there. But then there's darkness over the earth. But then verse 3 says, God said, let there be what? Light. Let there be light. And there was light. And the story goes on, and as it goes on, it gets really, really dark. Because what happens then is actually it starts off really good. It does. It starts off pretty good, honestly. I mean, there's no sin. Everything's perfect. Adam and Eve, they're walking around. Nobody's wearing clothes. A little bit weird for us today, but kind of cool for them. They never had to worry about getting the belt to match. Everything was just perfect. It was just, didn't have to go to the dry cleaner. Everything was great. And it had to be good temperature, too. It had to be never too hot, never too cold. It was great. It had a perfect relationship with God. But then you remember the story? What happened then? Then he said, there's one tree, don't eat of this tree. They ate of this tree. They knew good from evil. They sinned. Sin entered the picture. And when sin entered the picture, the relationship between Adam and Eve was broken. And every child that they have, every grandchild, every great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchild, which is what we are, comes into this world. It's a world of darkness, and our lives are separated from God because of sin. And this goes on for a while, and it goes. There's a story, and then you have Noah coming along. They try to start over, and then Noah messes up right after he gets off the boat, and so it's still messed up. And it goes on. He chooses a guy named Abraham and says, okay, through this guy, I'm going to bring a savior. I'm going to become, he actually chose him before, but he said, through Abraham, I'm going to create a nation that I'm going to communicate to people through, and as I give them the law, and as I reveal to them this, also through their line, I'm going to send my son, the Messiah. So this nation then starts off, and before they're really even a nation, they're just a family. There's a guy named Israel, Jacob, and his family ends up going to Egypt during a famine, and then they're doing pretty good when they start there, because remember they sold Joseph, they're doing pretty good, and they end up slaves for about 400 years. So 400 years, they're in darkness and slavery. They get delivered from that. They get delivered from that, and they whine and complain, so they wander around the wilderness. But while they're doing that, you know how God leads them? With a pillar of fire. And so he shows them, he's light, you follow me. And all through the Old Testament, you see that God is light. And so you go through this. So they get delivered, and then they start to get kings. They start off kind of okay, and then they get some bad kings, and they get really bad, and they divide. They split up, have a civil war. There's a northern and southern kingdom. One of them goes into captivity. Eventually, the other one does, about 586 B.C. 52 years later, they come out. They go back to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. You end up at the end of your Old Testament with these minor prophets. The guy named Malachi at the end, and he ends up saying, you know what, one day there's going to be someone that's going to come on the scene. He's going to turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children, the hearts of the children back to their fathers. He's talking about John the Baptist, and then boom, God is silent for 400 years, and the world is in darkness. And we're born sinners, and people are sinning, and they've set up this system. There's a system set up to kind of point that someday God's going to forgive, and they're doing sacrifices, but nobody hears from God. Nobody knows where God is. Nobody does anything. And then all of a sudden, 400 years later, a guy named John the Baptist, who we'll look at next week, comes on the scene, and he starts to preach and turn the hearts of the fathers back to their children. And then all of a sudden, he sees the Lamb of God, and Jesus comes on the scene. And he comes into a world that rejects him. And we'll talk more about that in 2 weeks. But he comes into a world that rejects him and turns away from him. But he came into darkness. In the beginning. If you're with me, stand with me. Say this. Say, Jesus is the light. Say that with me. Jesus is the light. Okay, so you got it. So here's what we want to get to. But now this stuff right here, we're going to get really deep, and then we're going to get really practical. Okay, you want to go really deep? You with me? Do you have coffee? Did you manage to get some out of it? You can drink all the coffee this morning. I'm going to make more coffee for you next week, I promise. But so here's what we have. We're going to do this. So hang with me here, because this is going to get a little bit deep, and it's going to get a little bit beyond your mind, kind of like light. Because in the beginning, the Bible says, was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Now, when he uses the word Word, he's really talking about Jesus. If you have your Bible and you look down to verse 14 of John chapter 1, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So this Word became flesh. Now Jesus is the only person that has ever existed before he was born. He existed for all eternity. In fact, in the beginning, he was there before time began. Now here's the thing that blows my mind about this. Is God, here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God the Father is God. The Bible teaches that God the Son is God. The Bible teaches that God the Holy Spirit is God. Three distinct ways God reveals himself. Three distinct personalities somehow. I don't fully grasp it. But we call it the doctrine of the Trinity. But we believe God is one. We don't believe there are three gods, but there's one God revealed as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And yet somehow, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit have this perfect relationship of fellowship forever from before the foundation of the world. So before time began, Jesus didn't, it's not like Jesus was just a guy that God said, hey, I'm going to put my spirit on him, I'm going to pick that guy, and he's going to be the Messiah. It was before the foundation of the world, they said, okay, here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to become a man. And I'm going to live a perfect life to die for their sins. So he does this. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. We don't even know. That's not just like, hey, they were hanging out. The Word, it really means, in the Greek, it really means they were face to face. It carries the idea of there was a perfect relationship. Can you imagine what the relationship, I mean, have you ever had, you had a kid, you ever have a good relationship with your dad? You ever have a good relationship with a brother? You ever have a good relationship with a friend? And you know how you just get together with them, you could tell them anything, and sometimes eventually, hopefully, you have this with your husband or your wife, you get together and you don't even really have to talk a whole lot. They can just tell by looking at you, you know, if it's a good day, if it's a bad day, they know how you feel. And it's kind of dangerous because then sometimes you can say the right thing, but if you have the wrong look on your face, they catch you. You know that? Like other people would know. You know what a good relationship like that is? How good do you think the relationship would be between God the Father and God the Son? How close could they be? See, this is what's amazing. For all of eternity, which we don't even understand, God is outside of time. So before time began, they have existed. He's existed with this perfect relationship. And then we saw it in Matthew, how he's on the cross. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? We can't even comprehend. I mean, that's deeper than light for us to comprehend what that must have been like for Jesus to be separated from the Father. But Jesus is the light. Are you with me so far? You with me? Okay, good, because it's getting, we're coming in. We're diving down a little bit here. Here's what he says. So he says, really before the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now, why he uses the word is this, I think. There are two reasons. One, Greeks viewed the word, which is logos or logos. They viewed that as God's activity in the universe. Philosophers, they would say, it was kind of like to them, for the Greeks, have you ever seen the Star Wars? You ever seen Star Wars? I shouldn't even have to ask that question, should I? You guys have seen Star Wars, and what's the overwhelming, powerful thing in the universe in Star Wars? What is it? It's the Force, right? So the Greek philosophers, their idea of the Force was like the Word. It was Word, so that's it. These gods, they use Word, and that's kind of it. So when John uses this, if you were a Greek in that day, you would say, oh, the Force that makes stuff happen, that was with God from before the beginning. Now, the Jews understood the word of the Lord also to be, that was all through the Old Testament. The word of the Lord was God's activity. And so when they talked about the word of the Lord, they understood that's how God acts. That's what God does. So when they heard this, they said, okay, so that means that before the foundation of the world, God was acting, God's word was still there. And actually, even Psalm 119, 105, what does it say? It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a what? A light unto my path. So they would understand this, and they're getting this concept of light, and John's kind of laying the groundwork here, and he says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and here's the one that I can't grasp, it blows me away, the Word was God. It wasn't less than God, wasn't created by God. Jesus is God. He's revealed as God's Son, the only begotten Son of God, but at the same time, he is God. He's 100% God, 100% man. How many of you fully understand that? Anybody fully understand that? I can't fully understand that, but guess what? I'm glad that my God is bigger than my brain. God is completely God. He's completely man. Don't understand it. Don't have to. I know it's there. I'm still turning the light on, right? You're going to turn the light on tonight? You understand how it works? You don't. You just know what? This is who Jesus is. But there's some really good stuff about this. If he is God, that means he's absolutely in control. If he's God, that means he could actually live a perfect life. If he's God, that means that his death could actually pay for your sin. If he's just a guy, his death can only pay for one person's sin. But if he's God, it can pay for the sin of the whole world. It's an amazing thing. The Word was God. He didn't become God. He always existed as God. He is God. You say, well, maybe the Word was God because God made him and God created him. Well, no, that can't be, because the next verse 3 says this. He was in the beginning with God. So he's already there before anything else exists. He's in the beginning with God. And then the next verse says this, verse 4, in him, no, there's more. All things were made through him. And without him, my Bible here, I'm looking at the screen. And without him, all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. I love how John gets a little redundant there. Not anything was made that was made. Nothing that was made without him. What did Jesus make? Is there anything that Jesus didn't make? Is there anything Jesus didn't make? Nothing, right? Did Jesus make the materials that make up the bench that you're sitting on? Did he make your dog? I mean, did you think about that? Jesus, I mean, he created, and there was nothing made that was made that he didn't make, which also means that he created you. Isn't that cool? Well, I think he could have done a better job. Well, maybe, but, you know, he decided to do it just like he decided to do it because he had a reason. I don't know what it was, but he's God. But he created you. That's phenomenal that this being that has all the power in the universe, could do anything he wanted, decided to create you. You ever think about that? I mean, just that one truth. I don't even have to go further than that. Just to think that God created you. He chose to create you. He could have not created you if he'd wanted to, but he chose to create you. Isn't that amazing? And not only that, but he has made it possible for you to have a relationship with him. He wants to have a relationship with you through his son, Jesus. He's paid for your sin. So you can be forgiven, so you can know him, so that even when you get done with this body, you get done with this life, you can go to heaven and spend eternity with him forever. So no matter what your friends say about you, no matter what you think about yourself, Jesus made you. He created you. There was nothing made that was made. Let me find John in my Bible again. I've lost my place here. John 1. So there's nothing that was made that was made. Now, but here's the deal. Here's the deal. Now, here's where the problem comes in, is you have people today that teach that Jesus is a created being. But this says nothing was made that wasn't made by him. So is it possible that he's a created being? It's not even possible, because he created everything. He's the uncreated creator, is what he is. I know, that's up there, isn't it? You guys with me? We'll keep it simple. Jesus is the light. Say that with me. Jesus is the light. That's right. So, hey, that right. How about that? Jesus is the light, right? Right. So Jesus is the light. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. And I'll tell you more about this in a moment. But when you need a light, only light will do. When you need a light, only light will do. How many of you have ever woken up in the middle of the night? Okay, let's just confess right now. Who's been scared of the dark before? You ever been scared of the dark? I have. I grew up in Middleburg. It was scary and dark. There were critters in the woods that could eat you. At least we thought there were. So I didn't like the dark. I had to walk down the creek by myself. It was a long way. Kind of scary. But the dark. And you ever wake up in the middle of the night and hear a noise in your house? You ever done that? Wonder what it is? And you think, man, okay, so you need, what the first thing you want to do after you reach for your gun, if you grew up on this part of town, but after you do that, the next thing you do is you turn on, what do? You turn on the light, right? You don't wake up in the middle of the night going, oh, I just heard a sound. I wish I had a grapefruit right now. Just had a grapefruit. You don't need a grapefruit. What do you need? You need a light. You don't wake up saying, man, okay, I'm going to wake up. You wake up in the night, you hear that noise. Oh, boy, I just, if only I had an iPod right now, then I would be safe. I could see everything. You don't do that. You wake up, you go, no, what I need right now is a light so I could see that that is a coat hanging on the chair and not a person in my room. You know, right? That's what you want. You want to know that you're safe. You want that light. When you need a light, only a light will do. When you're a little kid and you're going to bed, it doesn't matter how many times your parents tell you there's nothing in the closet and there's nothing going to get you. What you want when you go to sleep, you don't want those words. You don't want a book. You don't want a blanket. You want light. Give me light so that if I open my eyes, I can tell that there's nothing in the closet, right? You don't need, when you need a light, only a light will do. Here's the problem. Here's the problem. Some of you need Jesus' light in your life, and you're grabbing for a grapefruit. You're saying, if I could just get a promotion, then I'll be satisfied. If I just made $10,000 more dollars a year, $5,000 more dollars a year, whatever it would be. If I could just get that next toy, that next hobby, and that's not going to be the light that you need. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. We'll dig in deeper to this in a minute. The light shines in the darkness. See, the Bible says we're in sin and we're in darkness. And so when we're in sin and darkness, what we need is light. We don't need other things. But here's what people will do. We will be in darkness. We'll be separated from God. And we'll say, here's what I think I need. I need more prestige. I need more power. Some of you do this. Some of you say, okay, I'm gonna find my satisfaction, my completeness in a relationship. Whether it's my husband, my wife, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, whatever it is. We'll say, it's going to be another person that will complete me. That's not going to happen. You were designed to have another person complete you. You were designed to have God complete you. Colossians 2 tells us that we're complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. What you need is light. If you're trying to get your husband or your wife to complete you, if that's what you're looking for from them, you're going to frustrate them and you're going to be dissatisfied. You are complete in Christ. You need light. You need Jesus. And then you need to give yourself away to them instead of trying to get. And that's what happens when you know Jesus. So you need light. And it's not, you're not going to be satisfied. You're going to find that no matter how hard you try, how much money you make, how successful you are, how many times you go surfing, hunting, fishing, play golf, whatever it is, you will never be satisfied if you don't have Jesus in your life, if you don't have the light. That's really it. See, here's the thing. How many of you like coffee? You like coffee? I love coffee. I think it's God's gift to us. Although I'm cutting way back. I'm only having one cup every morning. But you know what would happen? If I woke up tomorrow morning, I said, okay, so this morning, that's it. I'm done with coffee, which I could, and I might do it. But I really think my body's designed with a caffeine deficiency. So I have to supplement that. It's kind of like a vitamin that I take every day. Just have a cup of coffee, and I'm good to go. But if I wake up with my caffeine deficiency, instead of having coffee, I got up and said, okay, so today, instead of coffee, I'm just going to drink water. Or I'm going to drink herbal tea or whatever, you know, whatever it would be. You know what would happen? About an hour or two later or 3 hours later, about lunchtime, I would start. Have you ever had it happen to you? What happens? You get a headache, right? You get a headache, you're a little cranky because, honestly, we're all addicts, right? Are you caffeinated people? We're addicted to caffeine, and we're just confessing we're in church. It's all right. It's good. It doesn't really control us or anything. But so we have that. So you have a caffeine deficiency. What you need is coffee, right? Here's what I'm trying to tell you this morning. Your soul has a Jesus deficiency, and you can't fill that with anything but Jesus. If you do, it's not going to work. People fill it with religion. They fill it with church. They fill it with money. They fill it with sex. They fill it with drugs. They fill it with power. They fill it with success. They fill it with flat-screen TVs and video games and all this other stuff, and it never satisfies. What you need is you need Jesus, because Jesus is the light, and he's the light that you need. Look what he says here. The verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That's the great thing. Micah was saying that a minute ago. Whenever light comes in the room, darkness has to go away, doesn't it? Like that old joke. You ever heard that joke? Actually, I just made it up. Light and dark walk into a bar. Darkness disappears. That's it. That's the end of the joke. Y'all laugh better than the Craft Shack. It was funnier when I told it to my wife like yesterday or 2 days ago. It was great. Light and dark walk into a room and darkness. I was trying to think of some more. I can't think of any, but you'll come and tell me some of those. But that's what happens. What happens? You never walk in the room and turn on the dark, do you? You walk in the room, you should put on one little light, and darkness flees. They cannot coexist. And I've heard that darkness doesn't even really exist. All darkness is the absence of light. It's just what happens when you take light out, that you end up with that. And spiritually, that's what happens. When you take Jesus out of it, it doesn't matter how much religion you put in or how much activity you have or how much stuff you have or how many relationships you try to have, it's still going to be darkness without him. Listen, once Jesus enters your life, you are in the light. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness is not overcoming. That means that no matter what you've done or where you've been, or you can be forgiven. Jesus can make a difference in your life, because Jesus is what? The light. Jesus is the light. You need to remember that Jesus is the light. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. If you don't know Jesus, if you're like me when I was 18 years old and I said, I don't understand God, so I'm not going to believe in God, I'm not going to follow God, I want you to ask God to show you if he's real in your life. And if you believe that he is real and you believe that Jesus is real, I want you to say, Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I want to turn away from my sin, and I want to place my faith in you, because I know I've sinned against you, and you came into this dark world to rescue me. You came in this dark world, you lived a perfect life, and you died in my place. And you rose from the dead so that anyone who believes in you can be forgiven. If you buy that, if you don't have to understand it 100%, but if you believe that and you want forgiveness for your sin, you need to surrender your heart to Jesus today. You need to come to the light. That's the most important thing you can do. And he's the only light. There's only one. It's not like a Christmas tree light. There are those Christmas lights where you can go to my house. Hopefully I'll have them up today. And you go, I like the blue light. Well, I don't have blue. I think I have green, red, orange, and yellow, whatever they are. You can't say, I like the red light. So I'm just going to pick the red one. I like that one and not the green one. I'm going to take that one. That's what people do with Jesus today. I say, you know, I think there's like lots of ways to get to God. And so we're all going to get there our own way. And we're going to do, you know, there are many lights, right? There are a lot of lights. And so you're going to find your own path. And there's a sense in which the way that I came to Christ may look a little different than yours, because I grew up in Middleburg. So everything's different there. But I mean, there are different paths. There are different paths to Jesus. But there aren't different paths to God. The one path to God leads through Jesus. Some of you are going to come to Jesus come from a church background. That's one way you get there. You hear about him growing up, and then one day it makes sense, and you give your heart to him. Some of you are going to come to Jesus. This may be the first time you've heard about him. You say, man, that's the first time I heard about him. I met some people that live different, and I love them. And so that's a different way to kind of get there. So there are different ways to get there. But your only way you get to God is through Jesus. It's what he said in John 14:6. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. He said, I'm it. So that's it. There's only one way there, and that's through him. Now, here's what I want you to get. When you need light, only light will do, right? And Jesus is the light. So here's what I want us to do this week. Those of you that don't know Christ, I want you to give your heart to him. Those of you that do know Christ, here's the thing. I want you to realize your satisfaction is not going to come in this life from your job, from your spouse, some of you are trying to find it in your kids. And you're ruining them by doing that. I mean, you think that, man, they're going to complete me and I'm going to live through them. And that's not going to happen. You're not going to get it through your parents accepting you or whatever. That is not going to satisfy you no matter what. And I hope that they would. And if they, I would love for them to do that. But if they don't, that's not what you need to be complete. What you need to be complete is Jesus. And here's what I want us to do. Every time we see a Christmas light this week, every time we see a Christmas light, I want you to remember that Jesus is the light, right? What is Jesus? Jesus is the light. That means that he's God come in the flesh, and that's beyond our thing. Jesus is the light. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to memorize. There's a card in your bulletin, right? Is there one in your bulletin? Do I have one? Let me see if I have one here. Aha, right here. Here it is. Gave you a free Christmas card early, all right? You ready? Here's an early Christmas card for you. This will remind you, but we're going to memorize this verse together this week, okay? I didn't give you a memory verse last week. I meant to. It was supposed to be 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, which says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But now we're going to memorize John 8:12 together. Not right now. We normally do that. We won't do that this morning. But I want you to take this card, say it out loud, and remind yourself. Here's what I want you to do. Every time, you have to learn it first. But then every time you see a Christmas light, every time, I mean, when you walk into the office and they have them hanging up there, I want you to remind yourself and review this card. Say, oh, Jesus is the light of the world, which is going to tell us. It's right here. I think I have it on the screen. Jesus spoke to them saying, and what's amazing about when Jesus says this, they are starting a festival. I think it's the Feast of Tabernacles, but they have lights is what starts off. They're saying light represents God. And so then he shows up in the middle of this festival, really, at the beginning of it, and he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I'll get it. I'll take it. That's okay. I was going to answer it. I'd like to do that. That'd be kind of fun. Mine will probably do it next week. So again, Jesus spoke to them saying, what does Jesus say? He said, I am the light of the world. He who walks in me, who follows me, will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So we're going to memorize this. So when you're standing in that line at Walmart this week, if you go to Walmart, if you're brave enough to go into Walmart, I don't like going into Walmart during normal times. I think they have like a rule where like if there's 10 people or less in line at Walmart, they close a register, right? If there's 10 people, they just close one because we got to have 15 people deep or something, or it's just, we're not doing it right. So, I mean, because you'll go there, there'll be, not this time of year, there are tons of them there, but it's like there's 25 registers and two open. They're opposite ends of the Super Walmart. And so, instead of sitting there being frustrated and reading the cool, great, you know, informative magazines that are all right there while you're waiting to see who's dating who and who broke up with who and who J-Lo's with, instead of reading all that, what you need to do is take this card out of your wallet, your purse, your pocket, wherever you put it, and go, okay, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Every time you see a Christmas light, I want you to remember, Jesus is the light of the world. And you think about Jesus, and that affects how you spend your money. That affects, you know, when your in-laws come over that you don't want to come over, you know, not that you guys want that, I love mine, but yours want to come over and maybe you don't like to be around them. When they show up, if instead of focusing on them, you remember, hey, oh, Jesus is the light of the world. He came into darkness. He left heaven for me, which we'll talk more about that in detail in a couple weeks, but he did all that for me. I can put up with this. I can relate to them better. Here's the thing it'll do. If Jesus is your light, then Ephesians says that you forgive as you have been forgiven. If you remember about Jesus, that affects how you relate to your husband or your wife or even your ex-husband or your ex-wife or your kids or your uncle or your aunt or your in-laws. It changes that, doesn't it? It affects how you treat them and how you view them and how you react to them. It'll make a difference if you remember Jesus is the light, right? Y'all with me? Let's say it again. Jesus is the light. And when you need a light, only light will do. He is the only light. We're going to dig deeper in this next few weeks. But I want us to pray together right now. Let's just pray together, and then we're going to sing a song and be done. Lord, thank you that you are here with us. I pray if there's anyone in here this moment that needs you, God, that they would give their life to you. Lord, I pray that you would take our hearts right now, and you would let them be just focused on you as being the light, and that would impact our lives this week, that we would memorize your word, we would hide it in our heart, and God, that you would lead us so that we would not grumble, we would not complain, but we would be focused on you being the light, and we would be thankful for that, and that we would live different because of that. God, I also pray that, God, that you would take our hearts and tune our hearts, God, to sing your praise. God, that we would live lives that not only understand, even though it's beyond our comprehension, that you are the light, but that would show this world that you are the light. God, I pray that you would take our hearts, that you would seal them, and that we would be yours completely. I pray that this old song that we are about to sing would, God, that it would be more than just an old song we're singing together, but God, that it would be the prayer of our hearts and that you would answer this prayer. I ask all this in Jesus' name.